Next up on Coast to Coast, our special guest, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. We're going to talk about time travel, so get ready. And welcome back to Coast. Dr. Bruce Goldberg conducts a hypnotherapy practice in Los Angeles. He specializes in reincarnation, soul healing, and time travel. Dr. Goldberg has been inducted into the International Hypnosis Hall of Fame, has written a number of books and over 24 scientific articles on his work. He has been a regular guest here on Coast to Coast and BeyondBelief.com. And we're going to talk with him tonight about time travel. Bruce, welcome back.
Thank you, George, for the privilege to reincarnate, and I always appreciate your fine review of my Exploring the Fifth Dimension book when you said, Dr. Goldberg guides you into a world beyond your wildest expectations. Highly recommended.
Well, you are highly recommended, and you, by the way, you did a great job on Beyond Belief.
You went into the past and future yourself, so we have to discuss your past.
I did. That was an interesting...
Monterey, but we have to discuss your Egyptian supervisory past life, too.
I know that. That was fascinating. And that story you told of the guy who popped up in New York City and got hit by a cab driver was amazing. We'll get in that a little bit later on as well. Bruce, give me your thoughts on time travel and in what could be happening in the future, going back into the past. What exactly is it?
Well, we're talking about the space-time continuum. To simplify the field of quantum mechanics or quantum physics, basically all time is simultaneous. So think of it as like, I like to use my helicopter analogy. Let's say that you were in a helicopter, like, you know, in the early morning, they do the radio reports about traffic patterns. And if you were, let's say, I'm going to use Los Angeles as an analogy here. If you were in, let's say, where I am in Woodland Hills, and you were traveling towards Burbank, let's say, okay, and you're going to pass by, say, Sherman Oaks in the intermediary. If you were in a car in Woodland Hills, you couldn't see a car in Sherman Oaks or Burbank. It's too far. But if you're in a helicopter several hundred feet above the earth, you can see all three cars at the same time, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So when you enter into the space-time continuum, which any alpha brainwave or hypnotic or meditation or yoga or biofeedback or any of these techniques, now you're in the fifth dimension, literally, and therefore all time is simultaneous. And these come out of Einstein's theory of relativity. It comes out of quantum mechanics, the string theory, all these. We have the mathematical models, so there's really no argument in the field about this. So basically what I'm doing here is just simply focusing people so that they can perceive into the past or the future. And what they're doing is they're accessing something we call the Akashic Records. And this is like a chart, like a fifth-dimensional computer chip stored on the causal plane, a different dimension. But you can access it from any dimension. And this is a memory or a recommendation or an actual detailed analysis of like a video file kind of thing, if you want to think of it that way, of your past, present, future, and even parallel lives. Everything is stored there. And that's what we're doing is we're accessing it with hypnosis.
Who stores the information?
Well, you know, there isn't like a librarian. We don't really know the details.
It just kind of dumps into it somehow, huh?
It's just simply, you know, you can say, are the spirit guides? Is it the White Brotherhood, they call that, which is the higher entities, the positive entities, representation of the God energy complex? We don't really know who really created the universe, you know? What we feel is in the New Age field, in my personal belief, is there's a God energy complex. And the spirit guides and angels and things like that, mostly the angels, which are direct messengers of God, created all these dimensions, and we're just simply trying to work out our karma so we can avoid and eliminate the tendency to reincarnate.
Now, when we talk about time travel, do you think it's conceivable that there are time travelers in the future who are coming back here now?
George, I've written 3 books on this.
Yes, you have. Maybe a fourth.
Well, okay. Actually, technically, yes, in the works. The term chrononauts is the term I use to describe time travelers from our future. So to make it simple, I wrote my time travelers from our future book. My Egypt book also details the time travelers and their interaction, how they come back and actually have created our civilization technologically. They've been in Atlantis and Lemuria and all these, in ancient Egypt and all these places. But let me give you the big picture. In approximately the year 3050, so a little over 1,000 years from now, There's going to be a man by the name of Tatos, T-A-A-T-O-S is how you spell his name. And he is the Da Vinci of the future. He is a historian, archaeologist. He's a medically trained person. He's a quantum physicist or a geophysicist. He's everything. And what he does, he develops a machine called the Wormhole Linear Accelerator, the WLA. And this is a machine that literally enlarges a wormhole to classical size so that he and his crew can get into a ship and travel back in time. Now, the mathematical model for this is known today. The famous astrophysicist at Caltech known as Kip Thorne, the one who actually he wrote a scientific article in 1988 in the Physical Review of Letters. It's a very technical journal. And he did this because he was researching, he was asked by his friend at the time, Carl Sagan, to give the theoretical model for the for his novel and eventually the movie Contact. So Kip Thorne did the research, came up with a mathematical model which shows exactly what I'm saying, that if you enlarge your wormhole to classic size, line it with exotic matter, which is has negative mass and moves positive and forward in time, the opposite of antimatter, then you can actually create a time machine. So Tatos will actually do that. We don't have the negative mass today. We don't have exotic matter today, which is why we can't do it. And we don't have the other technological aspects of that. But these chrononauts from the 31st to the 50th century go back in time, and they help us. And by the way, the crew of Tatos, this is interesting. Who was his crew? These are the names: Geb, Isis, Osiris, and Horus.
Sounds like Egyptians.
Now, they went back to ancient Egypt first, and of course, if you go back in ancient Egypt as a time traveler, they're going to worship you as a god. And Tatos, by the way, was also known in the Egyptian hieroglyphics as Thoth, which was Hermes by the Greeks, who was the person who gave us language and books and writing, et cetera. He was a very intellectual and very creative person in reference to civilization. So time travelers have been around forever. And by the way, just think of this. Think of this from a logical perspective. Where do you think we get our technology? You know, the raw materials of this planet hasn't changed in thousands and thousands of years. We've had brilliant people living in ancient Egypt, the Golden Age of Greece, with Plato and Socrates, and Archimedes is really one of the most brilliant guys. And then this guy named Hero back in Rome in about the first century A.D., he developed a steam engine, which is, by the way, in the Smithsonian, a working model, a little model of it, that the Romans rejected because they thought it didn't work, you know, but it did. Why didn't we have cell phones and TV shows and satellites and space programs back then? You know why? Because the interaction of ETs and time travelers give us our technology. The government likes to think that it's there, it's your tax dollars at work. It isn't, folks. It's the time travelers and the ETs. Because there's no other logical explanation why we have our technology today. And isn't it interesting? Every time there's a spike in technology, it's always corroborated and coincides with ET, UFO observations, and some of these time traveler episodes. So that's what it's all about. So what I'm doing here is to actually use hypnosis, a technique which is a natural daydream. It's a natural state of mind, an alpha brainwave that we go through for actually 7 hours a day, 4 hours during the waking day, and 3 hours at night in the dream cycle or the REM cycle, and to help people to perceive their past and future lives and to connect with their higher self and to do out-of-body experiences, teleportation, all this exploring parallel universes. Everything that, that we can do can be done by the use of hypnosis, and some people use meditation, but hypnosis is a lot more efficient and faster. And here's another thing, too, for your listeners out there, because I know I get emails about this all the time. Dreams are usually the sneak previews of your past lives. So if you're dreaming yourself in ancient Egypt or Samaria or China or Australia or wherever, whatever, or Europe in whatever century you're involved, that's usually the way a higher self is giving you access to your Akashic records, and you're able to actually get remnants. And when I do the regressions or progressions means going into the future, then people actually say, you know something, I had a dream about this, you know? And, of course, we detail it, and some cases are documented. So this is how the time travel works. Time travel is real. It's always been around. All the ancient Greek civilizations, the Romans, the mystery schools, they've all reported this. This is not something I invented. It's like I like to think of it as man did not invent electricity or fire. We discovered it. Okay.
Do you think that the UFO visitations now might be time machines from the future?
Well, okay, you can actually, yes, the answer is the ETs and the UFOs, their technology is going to be far superior to us because they've been around for millions of years longer than we have. Think of what we've done in the 4.5 billion years on this planet, and mankind's only been around for, what, 3 or 4 million years, and
yeah.
Any kind of intelligent man, let's go to Homo erectus even, a couple of million, 1.5 million years ago to us today, and we've only been around for about, now they say 300,000 years for Homo sapiens sapien. So, of course, if you've been around for just, say, 1,000 years longer than us, and that's a very conservative low number, you're going to have all this technology. So, but let me show you things about, like, time travel and show you how we can document things. My most famous case, of course, is the Search for Grace, which was a case of a woman who was obsessively attracted to, involved with a married man. She's a single, young, professional woman, very bright, very attractive, had her whole life in front of her, and she's dating this married jerk who literally tried to murder her on 3 different occasions. And when she came to me, we did 46 past life regressions on her.
46?
46. This is the longest case I've ever done. And 20 of those 46 lives, she was murdered by the same guy.
Jeez.
And the most recent case was in 1927 in Buffalo, New York. Her name was Grace Doe's. And Johnny, the bad guy, so to speak, as we call this, he was the one in her current life. That's his name. But he was involved in 1927, of course. And the details of this was given to, I was contracted by, I was working with CBS on this to do the movie. And what happened was that she gave me about 24 facts, 22 of which corroborated, the other two that didn't. And the newspaper reports show that the age that she was when she died, she said she was 32, not looking forward to her 33rd birthday. And she said the name of her son was Cliff. The newspaper report said she was 30 years old. There were 4 newspapers at the time. There's just one now in Buffalo. And then that said that the name of the son was Chester Jr., Chester being the husband. As it turns out, my patient was right, and the newspaper reporters were wrong. It's the most documented case of the last century. And it was made into a nice, beautiful CBS movie called The Search for Grace. And
I remember that.
Based on my second book, of course, called The Search for Grace. So my point is, this is time travel. This is documentation. This isn't some fantasy. First of all, she had no way of knowing the information because New York is a closed state. You got to go through the governor's office to get birth and death certificates, et cetera, and all the other records.
Yeah.
And this is a very documented case. More importantly to me than the documentation and the movie, which was beautifully done, Richard Mazur played me in the movie, by the way, for your audience. But the thing here is that she was able to overcome. She broke up with the man. She's alive today. Every year or so after that movie was done, which was done back in 1994, she called me to tell me how things were going. She was fine. She's a very empowered person. So this is an example of a documented case of reincarnation, which helped the woman overcome a major issue. But let me tell you something that's even more significant. I like to deal with progressions, too. You know, I'm the one who developed the field of progression therapy. So let me describe a case. Do we have a few minutes before the
break? Oh, yeah, before the break. Sure, you've got 5, 6 minutes.
I describe this case in a couple of my books called The Case of Pete. Now, Pete is not his real name. He's a clinical psychologist who came to me in the East Coast, and he had a hand-washing compulsion. If you shook his hand, he'd immediately go into the bathroom and wash his hand.
Like Howard Hughes did.
Right, except he didn't have the fingernails, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So what happened was that he was freaking out, and he couldn't work, basically. So in his life, a couple of things always haunted him. One was the name Teresa. And the number 8 always haunted him. His grandmother, who he's very close with, died in August of a certain year, et cetera. But the name Teresa, when we did past life regression, Teresa was a woman who killed him in past lives. There were all kinds of problems with the name Teresa and the number 8. So he said, what am I going to do? I said, I want to get rid of this compulsion. So I said, let's go into the future. Okay, let's forget all the past lives. They're not helping you. Let's deal with the future. So I take him into the future. It's the year 2088. It's Tulsa, Oklahoma. He is a technician in a nuclear power plant. He's very neurotic, very high strung. And one night in August of 2088, notice the number 8's involved, he freaks out, causes a meltdown of the facility in Tulsa, causing a nuclear meltdown of the city. He dies. Thousands of people die. And he says, well, doctor, what good is this? And I said, wait a minute. That's just one option. There are parallel universes, as you know, my work with the New You technique. So we go into his ideal path in the future. And the same year, 2088, he is now a nuclear scientist, not a technician. August 2088 occurs. He does not freak out, et cetera. And of course, everything is fine. Now, what was interesting is the unit he was in this power plant was the Teres Alpha unit. It spells Teresa. Okay? You got that? So everything worked out, and of course, when he was done with the progressions and the what I call the superconscious mind healing technique that I developed many years ago, his hand-washing compulsion disappeared, very empowered, very confident, and it was a great case. But it was a future. The problem occurred in the future, not in the past lives. That's the key. The future can cause current problems.
Interesting take on that. How did you get involved in all this, Bruce, in the first place?
Well, you know, my work as a dentist, of course, I was really not a super holistic person when I was in dental school. I was just studying to do my thing, and, you know. But I had a very dear friend, a woman who was a grad student in social work. She was going for an MSW, a Master's of Social Work. And she said, I was, you know, experimenting with the idea of hypnosis because I wanted to use it in my dental practice. And I read the Search for Bridie Murphy case, a book about a case back in the 1950s, a man named Maury Bernstein, the late Maury Bernstein, who later became a friend of mine, who did a very interesting documented case back in the 1950s in Colorado. So I think, let me just try this out. So she said, okay, Bruce, try it on me. You know, that's cool. So this woman, she goes into like 9 different lives, right, which I found was interesting, but this was the key. It wasn't just going into the past lives that was the key. She told me after I was doing all this, remember, I wasn't trying to do any healing. I was just trying to get information to try the techniques. She overcame 2 habits and a phobia without me even knowing trying to do that because of the experience and the healing techniques I was dealing with. She had insomnia, she was a smoker, I didn't know that, and she had a very severe fear of water, and hydrophobia, we call that. And all those disappeared, and I said, whoa, this is the universe trying to tell me something. Because I'm a clinician, and I'm a holistic person, I don't like drugs, mm-hmm. I never use it, even though I've, you know, have training in it, have narcotic license, I never use it. And so to me, that got me to say, this is something I need to explore. So very quickly, within a couple of years, I made my dental practice part-time and my hypnotherapy practice full-time, and you fast forward about 44 years, and now we are today. So this has always been my life-long goal, and I love doing it, and people enjoy it. And, you know, and you, yourself, on television, live, without any preparation, went into ancient Egypt supervising the Pyramid of Giza construction and noting anti-gravity flying crafts that were involved in moving the stones. Now, what's interesting about that, and that was your past life, is that is the exact technique I describe in my Time Travelers from Our Future book, in my Egypt book, to show how the time travelers helped build the Pyramid of Giza.
Isn't that amazing?
And you didn't know that. Okay?
No.
Right? So here's, you're coming up with something independently, as many of my patients have, you know. This is called Whatley's Law of Evidence, when people who don't know each other say the same thing. They can't have any contact with each other. It's very circumstantial but credible evidence. So you're an example of that, of course, to say nothing of Dexter Monterey, you know.
Good old stuff. You know, we're going to take a break pretty soon, Bruce. So then the next hour, we'll take phone calls. I've got more things to talk with you about. Would you say you specialize in reincarnation, time travel, soul healing, or all of the above?
All of the above. And again, what I'd like your listeners to do is I do on the show, I get lots of feedback on this. People ask me about this all the time. I do want to reincarnate my offer about, if they order my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, by either calling my toll-free number or ordering from my homepage or my website, they get a free fifth dimensional travel CD, which will take them out of the body. They can explore past lives, future lives, parallel lives. I call that paragression. They can go out of the body. They can do anything they want with that. But you must mention the show, and you must buy the book from my site, not from Amazon or any bookstore, but from my website, or call into my office. And if they do that, they get the free CD. Now, if they want to go out of the body but don't want to buy a book, if they don't have a computer, please, if you have a computer, everything is on the homepage. I have all the exercises there. They can simply call my toll-free number, which is 1-800-KARMA-4-YOU or 1-800-527-6248. And I will send them a written exercise, not a CD. You have to buy the book for that, information about all my books and CDs and everything else. So the offer is always good. It's good, by the way, in any universe, any parallel universe, and forever, even long after the show airs.
Super. Stay with us, Bruce. We're going to talk more about time travel and soul healing. I want to get into that as well. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us here on Coast to Coast. Bruce, let's talk a little bit about soul healing. Mm-hmm. Exactly what is that?
Well, soul healing, simply, we have a subconscious mind, which is the alpha brainwave level we can measure on electroencephalographs, and this is the life force. So we also have, and it's very compromised. Everybody's got a reason for being here, so we have problems and karmic debts to pay for, so to speak. We also have the perfect part of our soul called the higher self, or the superconscious mind is the technical name. And what I do in my practice, and this is what I developed many years ago, I call this the superconscious mind tap, where in hypnosis I'm training a patient to connect with their higher self, and think of it as an energy immune system where your subconscious mind's frequency vibrational rate, or the baseline level, is raised because it's connected to the higher self. You can't lower any of the energy of the higher self. There's universal laws to prevent that. So you can only benefit. The worst that can happen is nothing happens if you, you know, don't do it well or just reject it. You have control over that. But if you accept it, then you can raise the frequency vibrational rate and you can become immune to issues you were previously vulnerable to. Now, the way that your listeners can actually benefit by this and see this, on my website I have several videos that I actually have sessions I have done on national television shows where with real patients, and some of them were people from the studio audience, et cetera, but some of them were my own patients. They can actually see me actually doing the work and people going into past, future lives, contacting time travelers, UFO abductees, but they can also see some soul healing examples and psychic protection techniques done to help people to overcome protection issues. And people have also asked me about the on the computer. I do sessions by computer, so your listeners who want to see me but don't want to come to Los Angeles, we can do it by FaceTime or Skype, and it's just as effective as being here in person. And there are also many articles on the site to give them backup about some of the things that I do. But soul healing is really a shamanic discipline. Anytime you're dealing with energy healing, you're actually dealing with a branch of shamanism. Reiki healing, acupuncture, Ayurvedic medicine, all these are shamanic disciplines. So what I'm doing is something a lot more efficient, very westernized, very easy to do. And anyone can do this, by the way, just like you. You know, I've never worked with you before. I did an Akashic record scan on you about 12 years ago with the Dexter Monterey Life in Zemar. Right. But we didn't have any prep, and you went into a past and future life right on your show.
And let me tell you, it's a very relaxing state. You still have control over yourself. It's not like you've passed out or anything. But these images come into your head, Bruce. It's really strange.
Well, remember, you know, you want to hear something that goes back a few years. Remember when I did the first guy interview with you, that woman Peggy from Colorado, who had the regression done on the show?
And yes, I remember
back,
that.
She went back into the Renaissance. She was a male about 400 years ago, and she was a painter, and she was studying in a studio, you know, with a bunch of like an apprentice, and she eventually became a portrait painter. And when I asked her what's going on with her life now, because I gave her the instruction, go to a life that would be relevant to who you are now, in her current life, she is a painter, but she was never trained. I mean, portrait painting without any training whatsoever, that is not an easy situation. So here was a karmic relevancy about how the origin of her talents in this life, as an example, you see. So people can explore the talents. They can explore relationships with their loved ones. They can overcome any issue, anything that's humanly possible. That's what soul healing is. Soul healing is simply raising the frequency vibrational rate, the quality, not the quantity, of the subconscious mind or soul, which is our life force, the prana of the East Indians, okay? The Chinese call it the qi, the Japanese the ki. We call it the subconscious. It's all the same thing. And the advantage of soul healing, and what I do, especially with regression techniques and other things, is this. Number one, you remove the fear of death. That's a biggie, especially as people get older. They're cramming for the final, as I call it, you know? Secondly, you get psychic empowerment. You eliminate bad habits, phobias, etc. You take charge of your life and overcome self-defeating sequences or self-sabotage, things like procrastination or gambling compulsions or drugs or whatever. And the third thing is you access your higher self. You can see your past or future lives or even parallel lives. And you can grow and learn about yourself and grow as a soul. You can become more spiritual and more empowered. You see, the only thing that keeps us in the karmic cycle is fear. If you overcome fear, you're going to ascend. It's eventually just a matter of time. So to me, overcoming fear is everything. Unfortunately, the world that we live in, if you don't deal with these spiritual techniques, the world that we live in is extremely fear-based. The government scares the kazoos out of you, corporations, religion, everybody scares you. If you allow it. If you don't, then you grow. So the whole point of my work is to help people overcome fear and do it themselves. That's why it's self-hypnosis. I'm only responsible, and I have to make this point clearly because I always get calls on this. I'm responsible, folks, for 1% of the therapy. You, as a patient, do 99% in the dream levels at night when you're out of the body, working with your higher self on the upper astral plane or beyond, and that's where it's empowerment, not codependency on me.
And by overcoming these fears, is it easier or difficult to do that?
Oh, no. Overcoming the fears, it's a piece of cake. Okay, now it's easy. I mean, the whole point is that when you overcome fears, you now remove the one obstacle that prevents you from doing anything. I mean, think of it this way. You know, I work with professional athletes. Some of my patients are like baseball players, football players, and these guys are pros. I mean, you don't even want to know what they go through to get to where they are, right? You know?
Right.
Okay. So what is it with a guy, a baseball player, he's batting 150 for the month, okay?
Not good.
Did he forget how to hit? No. And then the next month he bats 400. It's confidence. It's belief in himself. That's part of it. You can say it's a psychological. I still think it's an energy issue. So these are people who have the potential, but then they get fear-based. They have a bad, you know, they strike out a couple of times or they do something, whatever, and then they get fear-based and they say, you know, maybe I can't do it and maybe the pressure and, you know, all the other things involved. It's fear. It has nothing to do with their athletic ability, assuming they're not hurt now. And so basically people in life, you know what the number one phobia in the world today?
What's
it's
that?
Stage fright.
Really?
Yeah, that's why people
I never had that.
That's why people pay money to hear public speakers, okay? Or they go to TV shows, movies, and things like that. Fear of public speaking is number one. It's called stage fright. It's a social phobia. Number one fear. Just about, I'm saying, not everybody has it, but it's the most common. So that's a matter of confidence. I work with newscasters. I work with actors, okay? The term actor applies to both male and female in the industry, by the way.
Right.
They can't perform with that fear. So I help them get over the fear. They learn their lines faster and perform. They emote better, whatever they have to do. And that's what life is about. Life is about overcoming fear.
Have you found that with reincarnation, that if somebody had, let's say, a birthmark on their cheek, that they will have one in this other life?
Well, yeah, that's actually the work of the late Professor Ian Stevenson. He came up in his latter years, of course, he did this like 50 years, but his latter books talk about how people would have like a birthmark where they were stabbed in death in a past life or on the side or things like that. Yes, the birthmarks, it's not really common, but it does happen. But let me show you an example of how things can carry over. I dealt with a case years ago in the East Coast about a female photographer who was a young, attractive woman. She was regressed to a past life in Chicago in the early 1900s where she was grossly overweight and an unethical businessman involved with the mafia and all kinds of things, just obese. And she hated what she represented. And when in this life, because she had this carryover, she was experiencing anorexia nervosa. She was starving herself to death.
Yeah.
When she was able to go through not only the past life, but the superconscious mind steps beyond that, everything disappeared. She gained some weight. She lived a normal life. But that fear and that, you might say, negative response to that past life was the thing that carried over. Another case, which is also very significant, is a woman who was hysterically blind. In other words, her optic nerve is fine. She should be able to see. But one day, her boyfriend was over her place, and he was taking some pills that weren't exactly prescribed, and she came into the bathroom to see what he was doing, you know, because they were going to go out. And he said, "You shouldn't have seen me. What's going on?" And now she got all freaky. And as it turns out, in a past life in London, in the slums of London in the 1880s, she was a young girl, about 6 years old, and she went into her father's room. She wanted to get some food, you know, and he was going to make dinner for her. And he was divorced, and he was shooting morphine into his arm as a drug addict, and he beat her terribly, locked her in the closet for like a couple of days, and that was the carryover when she saw her boyfriend taking the drug she wasn't supposed to see that gave her hysterical blindness for about a week and a half before they got her into my office. When I did the regression, the sight came back within about 20 minutes.
That's amazing, Bruce.
Well, you can imagine, you can't, I'm sure. Nobody wants to have lose their sight. You know, that 80% of our world is visual. But these are things that are done by energy healing. No drugs, no electric shocks, nothing weird and strange or freaky or codependent. All done by natural abilities. And that's what I love about this, is the idea of how you can do this. Now, going into the future, let me give you an example of a future thing, because people always like make fun of today. You can't do the future.
And how far into the future are you talking?
Well, this is a case that occurred years ago. I will show you about a novelist. A man by the name of Morgan Robertson wrote a novel in 1898 titled Futility, in which a supposedly unsinkable ocean liner struck an iceberg, remember it's 1898 now, on its maiden voyage and sank, carrying the elite society of two continents to their death. In 1912, a unsinkable liner from England with 3,000 passengers, known as the Titanic, which was 800 feet long and 70,000 tons with far too few lifeboats, existed and caused the problem. This guy, Morgan Robinson, had it almost detailed to the minute. How did he know that in 1898? Because he saw into the future. How do you think Nostradamus came up with his quatrains that are just brilliant if you look at them?
Or Da Vinci with his work.
Da Vinci's work, of course. Da Vinci is, Da Vinci, that's the thing about Da Vinci that people don't know. Da Vinci was in Florence when he was about 22, 23 years old, and he went into a cave, and he disappeared for about 3 days. And nobody knows what happened to him. And when he came out of the cave, all of a sudden he had these visions and his notebook. You know, he always had this notebook that he carried. He didn't do any recordings in that notebook during the time he was lost in this cave, in this cave scene. And when he came out, he started drawing these pictures of like ETs with long, elongated heads. And then all of a sudden, the scientific technology, the tanks and the helicopter and parachutes and all the things he developed began after that incident. He met either ETs or time travelers, probably time travelers, and they gave him holograms of the future. And he was able to take notes of that eventually and make that into his observations and his notebook to create these futuristic technology.
Amazing work, Bruce. Just keep doing what you're doing. So in terms of reincarnation, what is the highest amount of numbers you think you've been able to track that a person is reincarnated?
Oh, well, I mean, I've done 46 regressions with what I call Ivy, not her real name, in the search for grace. But the average person walking the streets today, and this is not an impressive situation, by the way, the average person has about 1,000 past lives.
1,000?
Yeah, easily. Now, I haven't done 1,000 past lives on any particular person. I do have a life here.
They go back to the beginning of time, then, I guess.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you understand there's parallel
lives. And not everything is like a 75-year life, is it?
Not only that, but there's also parallel lives. You can go parallel lives in the same time concept, you see? So you can log in hundreds and hundreds of lives doing that.
Multiverses?
Well, yeah, but the many worlds phenomena of Hugh Everett III from Princeton University in 1957 when he got his doctorate in quantum mechanics. But remember the thing here, the average about 100 years ago, the average time between lives was about 75 years. And 100 years before that, it was about 125 years between incarnations. You know what it is now? In the last, say, 50 years, it's about 20 years.
That's it?
So when a person dies or crosses in the spirit, within 20 years they're going to reincarnate, and sometimes almost immediately. Like when you're in a war, like the Vietnam War, people would come back very quickly when they died in the Vietnam War, kind of thing, as an example. People come back, and you choose your experience. So when people whine and complain about their parents or about their wives or kids or whatever, you choose it. And they have to agree with you, yes, but you choose it to not to be punished necessarily, but to work out your karmic growth, to learn, to eliminate the karmic debts, to perfect the soul, to eventually wind up in the soul plane, a different dimension, and eventually ascend and rejoin the God energy complex. That is the purpose. That is the only purpose. The only purpose of being on the earth plane is not to, you can take care of your family and pay your mortgage. I'm not saying don't do that, but the ultimate goal is to get out of here, is to perfect the soul and rejoin the God energy complex, go to nirvana or heaven, whatever term you want to call it. There's no bodies. There's absolute perfection. There's no perpetrators, no victims. It's a perfect experience in the eternal now, and that is the only real purpose of being here. And that we call that ascension.
Do you do remote viewing at all, Bruce?
Yeah, I have done that. I prefer going to different dimensions, actually, and even different planets. But yes, I have done remote viewing, and I've trained people to do that too. It's really kind of a baby out of body experience. I have my Astral Voyaging program. It's a CD program that trains people to go out of the body. And then there's also teleportation, which is a big request on my end here. And I've done that myself. I have talked about cases, but way back in the East Coast, it was between Christmas and New Year's in Baltimore, and it was very cold. And I wanted to go to, I was thinking about my best vacation I ever did around that time of the year, a few years before that, which was going to Montego Bay, Jamaica. So I went on my couch, put on my bathing suit, my transistor radio. My dogs were looking at me like I'm weird, okay? Put on one of my tapes, and the next thing I know, I'm in Montego Bay in Jamaica when it's about 85 degrees, and I had a very interesting afternoon.
How far can people talk
to? Wait, let me complete. So when I came back, people say, well, maybe it's just a vision, you know, maybe it's a dream. When I came back, my bathing suit was wet, full of sand, and I had a suntan. You can't do a suntan with hypnosis. So I was actually in Montego Bay.
You really went?
I went. It was a free trip. Okay, I got my mileages.
What would have happened if you were time traveling like that and you had gotten hurt, like you couldn't come back? Is that possible?
No one's ever not come back. People always come back. That isn't an issue. When people teleport...
Except the guy who got hit by the cabbie.
Yeah, but the teleportation didn't kill him. It was the cab driver. Okay?
Oh, no, I know that, but he didn't come back.
No, I mean, no, he died. He died in New York City in 1950, and he was from Kansas in like 1880.
Right.
But if he wasn't hit by the cab driver, he would eventually return back to Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
My point is that no one's going to teleport into underwater and drown or into the middle of a mountain. Don't worry about that. I've done teleportation many times, and I've trained many people to do that. My time travelers training program is the one that does to train people to do that. And I work with people, of course, personally to do that. It's a very difficult technique. It's not predictable, but when it happens, it's beautiful. It's an extreme experience, and it's something that, I can only say people should experience.
All right, Bruce, we're going to come back and talk more with you and take phone calls as we talk about reincarnation, time travel, and soul healing.